Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words with me, your host, Kevin Treasure, author of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Our aim is to help people win in life through the power of their words. You are born to win. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. Amen. I don't want to encourage someone in this Easter Sunday or Passover Sunday. I want to let you know that Jesus Christ suffered a terrible death for me and for you. He paid the price for sin that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. He went to the cross willingly. He said, "No man take my life, but I give it up freely." So I just honor the Holy Spirit of God, because I know without him we can do nothing. And I want to take you back to Friday. I want to take you back to Good Friday. It was good for us, but it was bad for him. Amen. Because he took the sin of the whole world. Amen. He took the sin for every criminal. Amen. Every rapist, every murderer, every liar, every thief. He took the sin, not just your sin, but the sin of the whole world. The Bible said he was more marred than any man. Amen. Isaiah looks at it and he says, "Was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Amen. He was despised and rejected, a man acquainted with sorrows, crushed. Amen. This is what Jesus Christ went through on that Friday. He hung on the cross. They gave him vinegar to drink, and even while he hung there on the cross, they railed in him and said, "Oh, if you be the Son of God, come down from him, and then we will believe." But this is why he came. He came to die for our sin. He came for me and for you. He came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. He said, "I know the plans I have for you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end." This is why Jesus came. Amen. The Bible says that he was stripped. Amen. He was betrayed. They was forsaken. Amen. They lied on him. And he was denied. Amen. And as we know, Judas betrayed him. Amen. For 30 pieces of silver. You got to be careful to keep your heart in these last days. Amen. Because the Bible says the love of money, not money itself, the love of money is the root to all evil. I tell people, listen to me, money will only magnify what's already in a man. If a man is humble and is a man is a giver and a man likes to help people, money will only magnify that. But if a man is evil and wicked and selfish, listen to me, money, giving a man money like that will only magnify what's already in him. That's what I tell people, money only magnifies what's already in you. Amen. And he said the love of money. Judas wanted money. Listen, Judas saw Jesus heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Judas was one of the 70 that was sent out. He was sent out. Judas cast out devils. Judas healed the sick. Judas saw Jesus feed the 7,000 and the 5,000. Judas saw Jesus walk on water and see Peter, when the rest of the 11 was in the boat, walk on water as well. He was there when Jesus awoke because of the storm and they thought they were going to die. And he saw Jesus awake and he said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. He was there when blind Bartimaeus received his sight. He was there for all the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And the book of John says, listen, if all the miracles recorded, not all the books could contain what Jesus done. But at the end of the day, his heart was still not right. So what am I saying? You can go to church, you can read your Bible, but still not know Jesus, still not know him intimately. So your desire must be to know him intimately. We don't want to be religious. We don't want to be traditional. We want an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to me, when we look at the life of that man who betrayed Jesus with a kiss, a most intimate sign that a man can give to another human being. Listen to me, we've got to make sure our heart is right. We've got to make sure that we are living the life that Christ intended for us. I examine myself. The Bible says we must examine ourselves to see if we be of the faith. So when we see this, all the miracles that Jesus done, but you can still look in yourself and give it all up for money. Money. And today, nothing's different. We've got preachers that started off great. And when I look in the book of Kings and Chronicles, we see a book of this king done great, and this king done good, this king done evil in the sight of the Lord. And this king started off good, but became bad. And we're seeing the same thing in the body of Christ. We see men of God that were started off humble, but when the money came, the fame came, amen, when recognition came, then you see them start switch up and begin to walk in pride and begin to say, "It's all about me. It's never been about you. It's all about the Lamb. It's all about the one that shed his blood. It's all about King Jesus. Never forget that. It's all about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus went through it for me and for you. And the Bible says that they whipped him, they scourged him. Not just whips, they had little these sharp objects at the end of the whips. And as they whipped him, it tore off his flesh, off his back. For me and for you, he took it, he endured the 39 lashes. And even after the 39 lashes, they plaited a weave of thorns around his head. And they mocked him and they spat at him. And even after that, he still had to carry the cross, amen, all the way. He had to carry the cross, amen, up to that mount. He had to carry the cross for me and for you. Stripped, the Bible says in Isaiah, he was more marred than any man. He was unrecognizable. Many people talk about the Shroud of Turin when they believe that this is the cloth that covered Jesus' face. I'm telling you, this is what I believe, because according to scripture, it says he was more marred than any other man. He was disfigured. He was disfigured. He was just a bloody mess. And he hung there on the cross for me and for you. They nailed his hands and they nailed his feet. And he hung there on the cross. The most humiliating, amen, the most humiliating and painful death that you could give a man at that time, in that century. Jesus Christ paid it all for me and for you. So I want to help someone that may be struggling with the fact whether they don't know if Jesus loves them or not. I want to let you know, when you look to the cross, when you see the love of God, when you look to the cross lets you know that Jesus Christ, that God is passionate about you, that God loves you, that God wants the best for us. Amen. The cross reminds us of the price that was paid. And if he was the only one in this world, Jesus Christ would have paid it for you. He paid it for you. He paid it for me, that the life gates can be open. And we must preach this gospel of good news. Good news. It's not bad news. It's not doom and gloom. There's so many preachers preaching doom and gloom. Listen to me, you ever see Jesus preach doom and gloom? Listen, Jesus Christ preached the gospel. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When he went into the temple, when he was anointed by the Holy Ghost, and he came out of the wilderness with power. Listen to me, we need some preachers with power in these last days. And he came out of the wilderness in power. The Bible says he went into the synagogue as his custom was, as he traditionally does. As we go to church, Jesus went to the synagogue. And he found in the book of the prophets where it was written by Isaiah. And he opened it up and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And what is the Spirit of the Lord upon you to do? Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Preach what? What's the gospel? The good news to the poor. To preach deliverance to the captives. And the open of prison to those that are bound. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for the garment of praise. And yes, the oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaveness. You see doom and gloom there? Listen to me. Everywhere Jesus went, the Bible says that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing good. Listen to me, he didn't go around doing bad. He didn't go around condemning people. He didn't go around saying, see you, you have got to hell, hell, hell. No, he went around doing good. And what? Healing all those who are oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. We need some preachers in these last days anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, who are going to go around, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and cast out devils. Amen. Freely receive, freely we give. Not doing it for profit or filthy lucre, but doing it because that's what Jesus Christ told us to do. Because let me tell you something now, when we're preaching the gospel and we're demonstrating the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, there's going to be great joy in the city like Philip. When we go and do what Jesus Christ tells us to do, you're going to see crowds and multitudes come. And you're going to see people coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're not going to see people running from God. You're going to see people running to God. Why? Because we're giving them something that they need. We're giving them the good news. We're giving them the remedy for the pain that they're feeling. We're giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're letting them know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. We're letting them know, listen to me, same God that healed yesterday is the same God that heals today. To let them know that God's plan for them is good and not of evil. David Exponent ended and said to me, listen to me, people, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to see souls come in and receive a seed fall. Please, the real Jesus, and show the love of God to a dying, dark world out there. Listen to me, we're going to see people run to Jesus. Yes, sir, they're going to see them run when they know that Jesus loves me, a sinner, a drug dealer, a murderer, a rapist, a prostitute. You know how much evil I've done? He said it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. You're going to see people falling on their knees and coming like Paul said, what will you have me to do? When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and they see the love of God, that they could have gone to hell, but Jesus plucked them out, cut their heart, turned them a life around, caused them to repent and put their trust in the Lamb. Listen, we're going to see some Christians come into this kingdom. We're going to see some young people come into the kingdom. We're going to see people with tattoos on their faces. We're going to see some prisoners, amen, have been locked up, amen, for 6, 7, 8 years, but the only thing, they've been locked up with the Bible and they've been alone with God and they've been speaking to the Holy Spirit and taking direction from God, and God's leading them by His Spirit and winning souls at an alarming rate. Listen to me, when this gospel is preached, when people know what Jesus Christ has really done, we're going to see people from different religions. Now, let me tell you something now. What I've seen from people from different religions, people that are once Muslims, or people that are once Hindus, or people that are once Buddhists, or people that were serving some other God, what I get to realize about people that were once in another religion and they come to find the truth, listen, they are on fire for God, man. When you see people that used to bow down 5 days and run to mosque and listen, and then they find the truth, listen to me. I know some woman, listen, the woman, she grew up into a family of Muslims, and then her and her brothers and sisters get saved. The whole family gets saved. This woman's on fire for God. Fasting and prayer, listen, fasting and prayer is a lifestyle and it should be ours. Listen, when people that are in religion find the truth, let me tell you something now, they make some of us Christians look some dibby-dibby Christian. They make us look like fool, like we've been playing this thing around. Take Jesus seriously. Jesus Christ's crucifixion was the worst death that anybody would have to endure. Let me slow down in peace and talk to you. Despite the pain and the agony of the cross, Jesus chose to die for the sins of the world because He loved us. And while He was on the cross, He cried out, Eli, Eli, Lama, Sabbatani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I want to let you know, He had to die for sin. He had to die in this way. He had to go on the cross. Why was He forsaken? Because God can't look at sin. There is a price for sin. There is a high price for sin. We can't afford it. We can't pay for it. Amen. But Jesus Christ came and paid for it all. Under the law, when it came to sin, there needed to be a lamb, a spotless lamb, a young lamb of a certain age had to be brought, amen, for the lamb to be slain, amen, for the blood to be shed, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But listen to me, those could only atone for a while. And listen to me, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that every year that the high priest coming and bringing the lamb, every year was a reminder that we're sinners every year. But when Jesus Christ shed His blood once and for all, Makarabasanta, once and for all, the just for the unjust, amen. When God saw, when John saw Jesus coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin from the world. What John was saying, he was signifying what Jesus would eventually suffer, because he knows what happens to lambs. He knows what would eventually happen to a lamb, what men do, what priests do for the lamb. And Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? Jesus would have been in pain and in anguish when he spoke these words. From the Lord's perspective, he would have felt forsaken by his disciples, by his Father. But he had to go through it. He had to go through the pain. He had to go through the suffering. When you see the cross, you see what we deserve. When you see the cross, you see the price for sin. So when we see the price for sin, we no longer want to live in it, because it was a high price that Jesus took. Is a high price that Jesus paid. He took the sins of the whole world. He experienced pain for us. He took what we deserve, separation from God at that moment in time, because the price for sin was paid. The Lord took on all the sins of the world and died a gruesome death on the cross. He experienced the pain that we deserved. who was in our place to die on the cross. He took our place in order for us to receive salvation through placing our faith in him. I tell people all the time that all other faiths, all other religion, a man trying to get to God, that's all it is. Man, when you look, study the face of all the other faiths, all other religions out there, is man trying to get to God, do good works, penance, fast, pray, give. They're doing all these things to earn their way into heaven, to earn their way. Amen. Because everybody knows there's life after death. Well, they should know there's life after death. So every other faith and religion is man trying to get to God. But Christianity is God saying, no, it's God coming down to us to show us how to live. You see, Jesus is our example. We serve such a wonderful God that will say, listen to me, not only am I willing to die for you, I'm willing to come down and show you the way that I intended you to live. I intended you to live debt free. I intended you to live sickness free. I intended you to live a life of freedom. In fact, I came that you could have life and have it more abundantly. I came to give you the Zoe life. And after I've shown you the way to live, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do for you so you can have this life. Oh my God, I just said something right there. After he's shown us the life that we should live, because Jesus is our example. Listen to me, he is my example. He must be our example. If he said, forgive, forgive. He said, bless those that curse you. Amen. Do good for them. Amen. That despise you, use you. And pray for them. Pray for them. Why? That we might be children of our Heavenly Father. No one spoke words like Jesus. No words convict like Jesus. Amen. No one loved like Jesus. No one healed like Jesus. No one raised the dead like Jesus. Listen to me. He is our example. He is God in the flesh. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So he is our example. And after he lived the example, he said, for you to live this example, I'm going to have to go and die. And I'm going to have to take your place, amen, and die a gruesome death. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. I'm coming down to that. I'm coming down. You see, on the cross, Jesus died for the sins of the entire world. Despite the fact that Jesus never sinned. I'm going to let you know, he said, no man take my life, but I give it up. He said, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up. He died on the cross for our sins. See, ever since the fall of mankind, we have been separated from God because of our sins. It's only by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that we could be forgiven sins and be restored in a right relationship with the Father. Since we could not fix our severed relationship with the Father, Jesus fixed it for us. Don't you love that? Jesus fixed it for us. When we couldn't fix ourselves, Jesus fixed it for us. I speak to people and they say, boy, preacher, let me just get some things right first. I just want to clean up my life. What do you mean clean up your life? Listen, you come to Jesus to be clean. You don't clean up your life. You come to him for him to clean up your life. No one takes a bath before they go into the shower. It's the shower that makes you clean. Does that make sense? So you must come to him if you want a clean life. He's the one that cleans you up. You can't clean yourself. In fact, we can't even help ourselves. Amen. Even if we wanted to, because we have a fallen Adamic nature. Mankind is sinful by nature. But you see, when you come to Christ, because he died and rose again, he's given us his Holy Spirit. He gives us the power to live a godly life. I'm going to say that again. He gives us the power to live a godly life. He gives us the grace to live a godly life. So when I got saved and people said, boy, Kevin, you can't smoke. You can't smoke no more. You can't drink no more. You can't run up and down. You can't rave no more. You can't this no more. You can't. It's not that I can't do those things no more. He's put his spirit in me that I don't want to do those things no more. So when you understand, listen to me, he gives you the power to live a godly life. I want to speak to someone out there that's struggling, amen, to live this Christian life. Jesus Christ gives us the power to live a godly life. Because he knows you can't depend upon yourself. So he said, I'm going to give you the comfort. I'm going to give you one just like me. I'm going ahead of myself. So let me come back. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins, redemption and eternal life. There is no salvation apart from Jesus, as he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He said, no man can come unto the Father except by the Son. The Lord endured such a bloody and painful death because of his great love for us. So I want to tell you again, when you see the cross, you see God's love in demonstration. So don't ever doubt if God loves you. Don't ever doubt if he's forgiven you. Yes, you messed up. Who hasn't? We've all messed up. But I want to let you know, the Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the man Christ Jesus. He said when we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't stay there in your mess. Don't stay there in your condemnation. Don't stay there in your guilt. Don't stay there in shame and fear. Jesus took your shame. He took everything that you deserve, that you can come into a right relationship with him. Without Christ, we would be on the road to eternal separation. Thank you for tuning to The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Check out our website, kevintreasure.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are born to win.